good to see so many of you and a few new faces. If you haven't been with us, we've been going through a series on the Gospel of Mark. And we are leading up to Easter, which I think is April the 16th, 15th or 16th, 3 weeks away. Easter is a good word. It's a word of celebration. It's a word of the resurrected Savior. And I can't wait to talk about that word. But in order to get to that word, the gospel moves through pain and suffering. We want instinctively the good news, the joy, the hope, but we dare not rush to that hope without dealing with the pain and the grief. We dare not scatter as the disciples did with Jesus praying in the garden. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, uses a word very frequently. If you were to read from the beginning to the end, he likes the word immediately. 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 And Jesus went immediately. And this happened immediately. And there are different reasons that Mark might use that word, but what it does with the pacing of the Gospel is it's quick. The Gospel's quick. Jesus is here, then Jesus is there, then Jesus goes there. Mark is the shortest gospel of the four gospels that we have, and it moves the quickest, except at the end. Mark slows to a snail's pace. And at the very end of Jesus' life, it's as if he goes hour by hour. And it slows to the passion of Christ. And here we meet in our text this morning, Jesus in the garden. And we see, we sit and we watch and we pray. Let us pray now. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And the church said, Amen. A decade or so ago, I don't know how long ago it was, when Mel Gibson's The Passion came out. Do you remember that? Caused quite a bit of stir. Do you remember where that movie started? It started with our text this morning. Jesus in the garden. Jesus has come from the Passover, the Last Supper with His disciples, and after singing a hymn, they leave Jerusalem and they go down through the Kidron Valley and up to the Mount. It's called the Mount of Olives. It's opposite of Jerusalem. And it's called the Mount of Olives because, guess what? It's got a lot of olive groves on it. Still does to this day. And Jesus goes into a grove of olives to pray. He leaves nine behind, takes his three closest disciples, goes a little further, leaves them with the instruction, sit here while I pray, and goes a little further and begins to pray. In the Passion narrative, in the movie The Passion by Mel Gibson, there's a little creative, artistic license. Jesus is not alone in the garden as he prays, but in the movie The Passion, there's the Satan figure that stands just a few feet away from Jesus, whispering in Jesus' ear, "You can't do it. It's not possible. No man can bear the sin of the world. No human can undergo this." It's Mel Gibson's creative artistry, but I think it captures the struggle of the garden. Because I think in Gethsemane is where Jesus wins the battle with temptation. It's where Jesus encounters the trial. Do I want to go through with this? Do I want to do what God wills for me to do? And it's the battle. It's a window into the interior life of Jesus of Nazareth. It's anguish. It's pain. This isn't the first time that Mark, the Gospel of Mark, has told us about Jesus' prayer life. In fact, if you were to go back and read through the Gospel of Mark, you would see some significant markers about Jesus praying. If you remember, when He begins His ministry, Jesus begins by going 40 days out into the wilderness where the text says He was tempted by Satan. Notice Jesus' ministry begins with temptations by Satan. His ministry ends facing the trial, facing a temptation. But out there 40 days in the wilderness, He's praying, He's fasting. When He comes back, He begins His ministry. He goes to a town called Capernaum. It's the town where Peter lives. And He heals. And word gets out, there's a healer in the town. And the whole town, and even more, show up early in the morning at the home where Jesus is staying. But they can't find Jesus. Where is the healer? The disciples look. He's nowhere to be found until they go out to a deserted, solitary place where Jesus is, where Jesus had gotten up before sunrise to go out and pray. Later on in His ministry, we get these windows into Jesus withdrawing with His disciples from the crowd. Jesus withdraws. If you remember the event where His disciples are out on the sea and a storm comes up. Jesus is not with them. Jesus walks out to them on the water in that great miracle. But where has Jesus been? He sent them out into the boat while He withdrew to a mountainside to pray. There's the scene at the Transfiguration where Jesus takes the same three disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, with Him up on a mountainside and has this glorious, majestic transfiguration where He speaks with Moses and Elijah and the voice from heaven speaks. Jesus there praying. In His last week, He goes in and He cleans out the temple. An act that will eventually get Him arrested. But His criticism of the temple of Jerusalem is, you have made this a place of bargaining, a place of robbers. But God's house is a place of prayer. You see, Mark has told us through the ministry of Jesus of an important habit that Jesus has. Prayer ministry. Prayer ministry. Prayer ministry. The ritual of Jesus' life. The habits that Jesus has formed through His life, through His ministry, now carry Him in this very difficult time. Jesus has learned the habit of prayer, and so when He gets to Gethsemane, He is ready for the struggle. He's ready to lean into this habit that has been formed, the habit of prayer, the habit of dependence. There's a word for us in this. The time of crisis is no time to learn the habit of prayer. Rather, we habituate ourselves in prayer now so that when the crisis hits, when the temptation comes, when the trial comes, we are ready to face it. We have formed ourselves in prayer. We're ready with the tools that carry us through the most difficult times that we have because of the ways that we've prepared ourselves before that time. That's what we see in the life of Jesus, the habit of prayer. It's like learning to ride a bicycle, learning to drive a car. It's developing muscle memory, except here it's developing faith memory, developing those habits that become second nature to us so that when crisis hits, we're ready, we're prepared. And Jesus here in Gethsemane is prepared. You know, interestingly, Mark doesn't tell us the most famous prayer of Jesus, the Lord's Prayer. You know it. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation or trial. Deliver us from the evil one. Mark doesn't give us that prayer. The Gospel of Matthew does. The Gospel of Luke gives us that prayer. Or does Mark give us that prayer? If you look at what Jesus says in Gethsemane, Abba, Father, our Father, let this cup pass from me. Lead us not into temptation. Everything is possible, Lord, but I don't want to drink this cup. Deliver us from the evil one. But Father, not my will, but yours be done. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mark doesn't record the Lord's Prayer, but Mark gives us a picture of Jesus praying the Lord's Prayer. Of Jesus relying on God, the habits that He has formed. We see the habit of Gethsemane here. But not just Jesus' habit, we also see His intense humanness. This is something that Mark has also talked about through his Gospel. We see Jesus, the Son of God, who gets tired. We see Jesus, the Son of God, who gets agitated, who gets frustrated. We see Jesus who gets angry. We see Jesus healing, sighing. Those are all pictures of Jesus that we get, but the most intensely human picture that we get of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark is in Gethsemane. Jesus says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus comes to His disciples and He says, "Could you not stay awake and pray with me just 1 hour?" We see a Jesus who does not want to be alone. A Jesus who is lonely. A Jesus who is anxious. A Jesus who is most troubled in spirit. This is not a stained glass, cool, calm, detached Jesus that we get in Gethsemane, but a Jesus who is intensely affected by the depths of human emotions. Do you know what it's like to be anxious? Well, then watch Jesus confess that He too is anxious, overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Do you know what it's like to despair? Well, watch Jesus fall on His face in the garden and pray. Jewish prayer was typically only done kneeling or standing up with your hands. The act of falling on your face says speaks of Jesus' despair. Do you know what it's like to be distressed? Watch Jesus return three times to pray the same prayer. Do you know what it's like to face disappointment? We'll see Jesus predict His own betrayal, His own disciples scatter. 3 years He has been with this group, and He is left alone, abandoned. Jesus knows the depth of your human emotion. Jesus tells His disciples, watch and pray. Watch and pray. So let us watch Jesus in Gethsemane. Let us hear His prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears, calling for help from the One who can save Him. Jesus' prayer, Your will be done. Your will be done. But Father, if there's any way, we see Jesus crying out for another way. Watch and see Jesus, who can empathize with our weakness, who can empathize with our vulnerability, and see the divine love in Jesus surrender Himself to participate in the world's rejection so that He might affect the world's redemption. Yes, Gethsemane gives us a picture of Jesus' habit of prayer, but Gethsemane gives us a window into the very humanness of our Savior. A humanness that we can relate to, that we know. We see Jesus' habit of prayer, His humanness, but we learn also in Gethsemane of Jesus' obedience. That's what the author of Hebrews says to us. That Jesus, through His cry, through His prayers, learns obedience. How can that be? The Son of God learning obedience to the Father? I don't understand the magnitude of that statement. And theologians through the ages have debated and discussed what it means for Jesus to learn obedience. But even though I might not understand it, let me tell you what I do understand. I understand that Jesus is leaving me an example to follow. An example to follow in His steps. So I'm not going to attempt to explain it, but I am going to attempt to follow it. Jesus asks God if there's any other way. Let's go that route. So asking God if there's another way through my trial, through my temptation, is not a sign of doubt, but it's a sign, in Jesus' case, of His great trust in a God who hears and responds. But Jesus is met with silence in this instance. Jesus knows what it's like to hear the silence of God in prayer. Jesus prays. He prays expecting power, but He prays accepting suffering. That's an example that I can follow. We form, should form, habits of prayer just as Jesus did. The One who participates in our humanity, we watch and pray with Him. And in our trials, in our temptations, in our sufferings, we too can learn obedience. But when we watch and see the Savior in the garden, we learn that the Son of God has said for us on our behalf, as an example to us, not my will, but yours be done. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. I had the great honor when I was a sophomore at college. We did a semester away, a semester abroad. And a trip that we took was to Jerusalem. Got to spend a week in Jerusalem. Actually, not a week, a few days. Spent about 10 days in the Holy Lands. But when we were in Jerusalem, one morning, a couple of my friends, we woke up before dawn, like at 4 o'clock in the morning, took a cab out to the Kidron Valley. The Kidron Valley is the valley that runs between the city of Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. They sit facing each other. Got dropped off there, and like I said, to this day, there, the Mount of Olives is got a lot of olive groves on it. So I hiked up a little ways the Mount of Olives, to call it a mountain, it's more like a big hill, and climbed a fence, probably trespassed into one of those olive groves, and sat there in the dark, waiting for the sun to rise. Somewhere in the vicinity of where my Savior must have sat. In the dark, watching and praying. You know, one of the things that I realized when I was there is that you can see Jerusalem. You can see the hillside. Might Jesus been able to see on that night the band led by Judas come out of Jerusalem, snake down that hill through the Kidron Valley, carrying torches, waiting for that band to arrest him, watching and praying, watching, literally watching his accusers come. If you sit with Jesus there in the mount and you look out, what might you see coming your way? What trial? What temptation? What might be snaking its way down the hill? What might already be at your doorstep? What might you be in the thick of? What do you see coming? Sickness? Problems in relationships? Helplessness? Despair? What might you see coming? Jesus' word for you. Watch and pray. As a community, what might we see coming? What's already here? We pray for our church, for our leaders. We see a coming transition with perhaps a new minister. We pray for our community, for our world, for our leaders, that peace would come. What trial, what temptation, what suffering might be coming our way? What should we do? Watch and pray. Jesus didn't want to be alone, but He was alone. But He doesn't leave us alone. He gives us one another so that we watch and pray for ourselves, but also we watch and pray for each other. We bear each other's burdens in the midst of strife, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of trial. Watch and pray. Jesus watches over us. Jesus yet prays for us within us by His Spirit. Jesus, the one who entered into the suffering of the world, who shows us His humanness, shows us that He learned obedience, shows us the way. But this Jesus is the one watching and praying, but the one who also would conquer death. So, church, today, the Word, watch and pray. Because ultimately Jesus, the one who watched and prayed, the love of our Savior was not, cannot, and will not be defeated. Watch and pray. Let us stand and sing.